You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident finalist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_data. So what I want to either do today or start with today, because I never know how long things will take, is the NFL draft best and worst. And this is just kind of from where I'm sitting right now. Obviously, this is not me reviewing a draft from several years from now after having, you know, knowledge of who's good and who's not. I guess sort of from the perspective of what would make me the happiest and what would make me the most scared for the rest of the NFC North. So I want to look at the Bears, Lions, Vikings, and Packers and just kind of try to come away with a handful of things that, you know, somewhat realistic. You know, oh, the Bears take a punter with the first pick, right? No, but somewhat realistic, possible, somewhere in the realm of could happen, and just kind of see where that leaves us. I think through this, I mean, mostly I want to focus on first round, maybe just early round, because, you know, I don't want to go through and say, well, and if they get three wide receivers, I don't care what they're going to do in the later rounds. Late round picks have a very low hit rate, so I'm not going to really worry as much about that. It's more of a day one-ish, what are they going to do? But still, to some degree, I want to look at the big picture. How many picks? How many in the top, you know, in the first round, in the top this, that, you know, whatever. Just to kind of get an overall lay of the land. And then again, best case and worst case scenarios. That's kind of a clickbaity way of saying it. It doesn't necessarily have to be that. It's just things that would scare the crap out of me if the other teams did it. And things that would make me say, ha, you freaking idiots. That's awesome. So why don't we start with the Detroit Lions? I think that's probably the least interesting. They have the latest pick. Nobody's talking about it. And for, you know, relatively good reason. At the same time, they are the presumed leaders of the NFC North, which I think is super debatable. Again, I generally tip the hat to the team that won the NFC North and say, okay, you are, you know, congratulations, you won it. But again, very clearly by the end of that season, the Packers were the better team. So for me to concede that the Lions are the better team, I would have to assume that I guess we would revert back to when Jordan Love hadn't quite got into a rhythm yet. And then just assume that's how things are always going to be. And I don't think I want to do that so much. So for starters, the Detroit Lions have pick 29. So they're right at the very end. They have just one pick in the top 50. That's pick 29. And they have three picks in the top 100. They got pick 29, pick 61. They have 73 from Minnesota. And then they don't pick again until 164 in the fifth round. After that, they have three picks outside of the top 200, pick 201, 205, and 249. So definitely not a lot of capital. And again, this is like I've been telling everybody, this is where it gets hard, right? You had a bunch of top 10 picks and top this and top everything. You had the easier schedule because you were the fourth ranked team and it's easy to load up. You got tons of cap space because you're not paying anyone because everybody sucks. Now you're picking at 29. You have no draft capital because guess what? When you trade back from 29 to into the second round compared to trading from, you know, the fifth pick back to the 10th pick, the value isn't there anymore. You're not loading up on three picks for that. So you're scraping by. You have very little picks. The picks you do have are of lesser value. You do not have as much money. You have a tougher schedule and everybody's gunning for you. This is why I mocked them when they went out and got a running back and then a linebacker and then a tight end. And the tight end is good, but these are very low value positions that they ended up drafting. So for Detroit, they have to get back to recognizing, no, we are not the Chiefs. We are not just a player away, and we've got to be smart. Now, I seriously doubt there's anybody that's basically a second round pick that's automatically going to terrify me, but there are still things that are better than others. So for example, they have Kevin Zeitler, who they brought in, right? Kevin Zeitler is 34 years old. He's a right guard. Graham Glasgow over there on the left side is 32 years old. Their guards are old and they need to be replaced. Now, is it a bad move to get Graham Barton, somebody of that nature? Or I don't know if they think Jackson Powers Johnson can play guard or whatever the case may be. Would that be a bad move? Not necessarily. Would it terrify me? No. Because now you can add guard to the list of, you know, tight end, linebacker. I mean, literally the least valuable positions. Beyond that, we already know that the Lions have a good offensive line. That's baked into the cake of how we all feel about the Lions. What is it that's moving the needle? I'm going to add to that one that a lot of people might disagree with, but I'm going to say wide receiver. Again, adding somebody to complement Amon-Ra St. Brown isn't necessarily a bad thing, but they have good wide receivers. In fact, Khalif Raymond has had a good last couple of years, and they've already drafted a guy at 12th overall in Jameson Williams. Not only is it possible that he could become something, which would basically nullify the new pick unless he's a complete freak, but the fact that they swung at one of the biggest freaks to come out of college football in Jameson Williams that didn't materialize into anything. He's hardly played, and when he does, he's not very good. Just is going to have me breathing a sigh of relief. You know, wow, great, good one. And then finally, in terms of something realistic, honestly, probably safety. Now, partially this is because safety is not the highest value position. Partially, though, it's because it's just not a very good safety class. Now, they've got a pretty good thing going with Brian Branch, who's more of a slot slash strong safety, I guess. But if they, at the end of the first round, grab a guy like Tyler Newbin or Javon Bullard or whatever to be that free safety, I mean, whatever. It's whatever. What's the worst case scenario? He's a good safety. Whoop-de-frickin'-do. We'll deal with it, you know? Not like we haven't already seen the Vikings and the Bears take, you know, relatively early swings at big safeties that haven't panned out right around that range, late first, early second. I'm not really going to care. Now, I don't really think there's any feasible linebackers, and I don't think they would take another one anyways, early. Same goes for tight end. There are no top tight ends, so I just don't think that's a realistic thing. Quarterback, I don't know how Lions fans feel about Goff necessarily. I mean, is Goff actually going? I mean, he's not even 30, which shocks me. I feel like he's 34 years old. He's 29, which I can't wrap my head around that. He's 29 years old, so feasibly, I mean, he could actually play in the league for 5, 6, 7, 8 more years, 10 more years, 12 years, who knows how long he could end up playing. So it's not something you have to do. I just always assumed that when he came into Detroit, that it was going to be a short-term thing. But, I mean, he had a good year. Again, he's not even 30 yet in quarterback years. He might as well be 24 or 25, 26, whatever. So I guess I would love it if they took a quarterback because, number one, it means that they don't feel Goff is the guy. And number two, this is a wasted pick. I mean, at least for a year, he's going to sit, and then maybe he can grow and become something. And that would kind of be the one scary thing. But at the same time, I mean, Goff was graded as the 10th best quarterback last year. How much better is this guy going to be? 7th? Oh, boy. Going to go from 10th to 7th in 2 years. Oh, boy. Look out. I think the two main things that would kind of be like, oh, that sucks. Number one is to get a pass rusher opposite Aiden Hutchinson. Aiden Hutchinson has been getting better. He went from the 21st ranked edge rusher as a rookie to the 8th ranked edge rusher. He was the 5th ranked pass rush, the 5th highest pass rush grade among edge rushers. So he's a good football player. But they don't have anybody on the opposite side that I'm scared of. You add a premier edge rusher on the opposite side, more than likely over on the Rashid Walker side, which is the lesser of the two. I just feel like it's going to cause problems. And the guy that's kind of hovering in that range would be probably Chop Robinson. He's kind of the guy that's been hovering at the back of the first round. I do wonder about Latu. I know a lot of people view him as potentially the best pass rusher in this class, but the injury history is pretty brutal. I just wonder how far he could end up falling, which, you know, I'm not a Latu fan, but that's kind of irrelevant once the draft comes around. The fact of the matter is a lot of people really like Latu and feel he is an unbelievably gifted pass rusher. And so the fear would come in and say, what if the injuries aren't a problem? You know, he's not falling because everybody knows the injuries are going to be a problem. He's falling because it might be a problem. So, I mean, look, would that fix all their problems? No. Would it be like, oh man, we're screwed? No. But at the same time, you know they have a scary offense, good offensive line. They got the tight end. They got wide receivers. They got a running back. The defensive line kind of figured it out. I don't know how consistent that's going to be, but with Alim McNeil and DJ Reader, at least for a year or however long, it seems like it might be a pretty decent interior. Then you add a pass rusher opposite Hutchinson. You've got Campbell going into year two, although the guy was terrible. Maybe he gets better. You know, the DBs are still kind of a mess, but you know, there's some stuff to be, certainly some stuff to be scared of there. But that kind of leads into the other thing that would kind of be like, oh, you suck. And that would be corner. Now, the thing with corner, though, is that, I mean, they draft after we do. And I don't know how many corners there are that I am supremely afraid of that are going to be available for them. For us, much less for them. Right? I mean, if for some god-awful reason Kool-Aid McKinstry were available and drafted, that would kill me. Now, I would comfort myself by saying, hey, the Packers didn't even like him enough. He fell. He must suck, blah, 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 blah. But I think the one thing that would actually be scary is if the Lions traded up and got a Cooper DeJean or a Kool-Aid McKinstry or Nate Wiggins, Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, whichever one sort of for whatever reason starts to fall into their arms, you know, especially if they jumped us, you know, if they jumped to 24 or 23 and got a corner, that would be the biggest dagger. I think if you want it, Lions fans, if you want to put the biggest dagger in my heart, jump to 24 and draft Kool-Aid McKinstry. I think that would be it. Possibly Cooper DeJean. I don't know. I'll do my second run through. Maybe I'm overhyping Kool-Aid in my own head because that was more of a, like, I'm shocked how much I liked him because for whatever reason I thought I would dislike him. But yeah, that would kill me because and the other thing is, if one of those guys or any of these corners is available, almost guaranteed he's the last one, right? There's only one left. It's pick 24, and then I'm going to see Lions flash on that TV screen, and I'm just gonna die because I know exactly what they're doing. That would be rough. That would be my least favorite thing that could possibly happen. I'll tell you what, why don't we take a break here? We'll come back. We'll take a quick look at the Vikings, the Chicago Bears. Ishedera, Ishedera. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built for us.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So before we launch into this, I just want to comment on something that's been brought up quite a few times. I just want to make sure there's no misconception here. There seems to be a lot of people saying that Mark Murphy basically like admitted the Packers are going to Brazil, or hinted that they're going to Brazil, or something to that effect. Unless I missed something, that's absolutely not the case. I'm not saying they're not going to Brazil. I'm just saying that's not what we learned here today. The only thing that we know is essentially twofold, and I'm guessing this is from Pro Football Talk, Michael David Smith. Isn't he the guy that had a bunch of terrible Bears takes, by the way? But we heard that the announcement would be coming soon about who would be going there, and then in the article, it cites Mark Murphy talking to Rob Domofsky on ESPN, I'm guessing radio. It says, we're either the first or second most popular team in Brazil. And then it says, also, this is very important for the league. If we're chosen, we'll gladly go. I saw some people posting things about the Packers are preparing as though they're going to Brazil, as if to almost hint that, you know, they must know something because they're preparing or whatever. And that's led to articles like the Daily Mail says Packers president hints they'll face the Eagles in Brazil. Like, where is this crap coming from? And they're just dragging up the same quotes. I'm looking at this article. There's nothing different in this article as far as the quotes. There are no hints that they're playing the Eagles in Brazil. No, not any more than what we already knew, which is that it's going to come down to the Packers or the Browns, which sounds like it's still the case, and we're going to find out soon enough. So just getting that out of the way, the Packers are one of two possible teams, presumably, that will be going to Brazil. That may not even be true in and of itself. Who knows? I don't know. But from what I can see, there is no real new information. Let's actually move on to the Bears now, because I think the as much as it seems like the Bears would be the most interesting or possibly shocking, I mean, we know what they're doing at one. I think there's quite a bit less to discuss with the Chicago Bears. Look, I'll be honest. With the first pick, I do think the worst thing that could probably happen is them taking Caleb. That's obviously up for debate, but I think he's probably got the highest ceiling. If you told me, hey, one of these guys is a legit Pat Mahomes, I'm going, okay, it's probably Caleb. Now, who's the safer pick maybe could be a different discussion. But as far as which one is the scariest for me anyways, it's probably Caleb. Worst possible scenario is they trade back a spot and still get him or something like that, you know. But it just is what it is. I mean, that's that. I think since last year, the worst possible scenario was the Panthers suck so much that they give up the number one spot to the Bears and the Bears end up getting Caleb Williams. And that's exactly what happened. We knew that was going to happen, though, since like midway through last season. So there isn't really a ton to discuss as far as hypotheticals. There aren't even many of those. Again, could they possibly trade back like a spot and still get a guy? Maybe, but it's just, that's not going to happen. There is one interesting thought I had, though. Interesting to me, anyways. I mentioned how the Bears are not even really courting the other quarterbacks, right? They're not even interested in the other quarterbacks. So why spend so much time courting Caleb Williams, right? They're taking him out to dinner in Chicago. They're flying out to California to meet with him and take him out and wining him and dining him and all that. Why are you doing that? You know you're drafting the guy, right? And you could say, well, maybe they just want to get to know him and make sure. It's like, yeah, maybe. But if that was the case, they'd be doing that with the other quarterbacks too as a fail-safe, because if you know, you take him out for the third time and suddenly it turns out, oh no, he's a terrible person, the immediate thought is going to be, shoot, why weren't we spending time with these other guys? I don't think it's about that. I think they're selling Caleb on the Chicago Bears, because the only thing that could spoil this for the Bears is if Caleb pulls an Eli Manning. They want to make sure that this guy is sold on them. Hey, we're a great organization. We're super cool people. Check out Chicago. You're going to love it. You know, when they went out to their pro day, it was, you know, obviously they're not out there critiquing the guy. They're dapping him up like we're best friends. Hey, we're going to bring out some people. Check out Keenan Allen's in the house, right? Like, man, we're so freaking cool. You probably can't even hear all the talk about how we've never had a good quarterback and we ruin everybody and all that. Like, no, it's nothing like that, dude. We got swag for days over here, man. You are in good hands. Anyways, obviously the bigger issue here comes in with their next pick. And I think it's sort of the opposite of where the Packers are at, where you're looking at it going, man, you just hope that one of these guys is there. You know, whether it's Cooper or Kool-Aid or, you know, maybe you want Jerzon or, you know what I mean? Like, whoever you like, there's a good chance you're sitting there going, I mean, it's possible, fingers crossed, that they make it. For the Bears, it's kind of the opposite. I mean, they're at the point where guys that I think make a lot of sense, that would be a big benefit, are going to start to go. So, I mean, although they could potentially go offensive line, I mean, I'm looking at it thinking, obviously, we're saying Marvin Harrison is gone, Malik Nabers is gone. Now, I suppose the absolute nightmare fuel scenario is a trade back up. I really doubt that that's possible. And even if they do, I don't know if it's a nightmare, because it's probably going to end up being a net positive, because they're competing with people like the Vikings trying to come up, giving massive hauls for quarterbacks. If they're going to give up that haul for a wide receiver when they could probably, you know, potentially anyways, get a guy like Odunze where they're sitting, I would say that that would be a terrible decision. That being said, they've got nothing else but really good decisions. No, I shouldn't say that. There's some not super good decisions, but we'll get to that. So Rome Odunze is, it's probably the most popular pick. I don't think it's the best pick. Maybe I just consistently undervalue wide receiver, but they've already got a number one. They've already got a number two. Now, the number two is probably going to be gone after this year. And of course, having Caleb, who presumably is going to be good, and two wide receivers is, you know, possibly a really scary thing. If all you have is a couple wide receivers, you don't have a good football team. And you can have a good offense with one good wide receiver. The Packers did it for a long time with Davante Adams. Especially when they have a decent enough offensive line, if they have the quarterback, if they have a good tight end, if they have a good running back group, having an elite number two is not a priority. The Lions do not have an elite number two. The Vikings, I mean, they might have a good number two now, but they haven't for a while. It doesn't matter. The offense is fine. So securing that top number two, it's irrelevant. I mean, the Chiefs haven't had it. They've got one receiver who's a tight end. It's not a requirement. And it doesn't automatically make you great if you don't, you know, if your run game is mid, if your tight ends are mid, if your quarterback is mid, if your offensive line is mid, you know, if your quarterback's running around for his life, what good is a second wide receiver? So, yeah, I mean, it's certainly a benefit, and it's not fun to think of the Bears possibly having a good offense, but Rome Odunze or not, it's not going to make a difference. If they're going to have a good offense, it's not because of Rome Odunze. And if they're going to have a bad offense with Caleb and the wide receivers they already have, Rome Odunze is not fixing that. When you have two number one wide receivers already on your team, and you have a hotshot new young quarterback, and your offense isn't good, something went wrong. It's probably your quarterback. So again, Odunze not fixing it. So that one, honestly, it doesn't scare me that much. I mean, if he ends up being Justin Jefferson, I mean, that sucks, but we literally have Justin Jefferson in the division, and I'm not scared of the Vikings. We have Amon-Ra in the division, terrifying wide receiver. I don't give a crap. I don't care. So would it be a good pick? Sure. Great pick? No. Would it terrify me? No. Now, getting to some things that could be terrifying. Ultimately, the exact same as the Detroit Lions. Pass rusher and corner. The biggest one for me, and I know not everyone agrees, but Dallas Turner is kind of the guy, not necessarily because of what I watched, although he does certainly have some promising things, but when you look at like his vert, for example, which has an unbelievably high correlation to being a good pass rusher, and the fact that he would come in kind of being the number two pass rusher on the team, so it wouldn't be like you're the only guy and you have to do everything and you get all the double teams. Being in Chicago, assuming they have a quarterback that's at least competent with two good wide receivers, and now you've got two scary pass rushers, and you have a corner, and you went out and got a safety. I mean, now, you know what I mean? Like, that's moving the needle for me. They don't have an interior defensive line, but if you've got two pass rushers, and you've got a potentially locked down corner, we'll see if he can replicate what he did last year, and you got an offense that can score points, I mean, that's a scary football team. You got to put it all together, but that right there would make me make me sweat a little bit. And then the other obviously would be corner. If you can get two top 20 cornerbacks, that's a heck of a thing to have. If you're shutting down wide receivers across the NFL and you've got a pass rusher, you've got, you know, some so-so linebackers, not necessarily the one you paid a ton of money to, but you can make it work. Again, you got the safety. And you got an offense. This all hinges, obviously, on having a quarterback. But still, I mean, you could have a scary defense. Now, again, that depends on your one pass rusher being the only guy up front doing anything that can kind of hold it down, which is going to be rough. It depends on, you know, you got one maybe safety. It depends on not having your cornerback regress massively, which you assume he's going to regress some, but he needs to kind of level off at still being good. But, I mean, two top corners and a decent safety and at least one pass rusher. And again, the offense is scoring points. That one, you know, if I see, for example, Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold come off the board, is like, ah. Now, there are other guys they could pick that theoretically would be just as bad. But because of my personal bias, I wouldn't be as bothered by it. For example, if they ended up drafting Nate Wiggins, still a corner. But I'm looking at it going, poof, you went with the Clemson guy. All right, dope. Or, like I said, Latu. Now, Latu could be a freaking beast. He could be everything that the Latu fans think he's going to be, and the injuries aren't a problem, et cetera, et cetera. It's funny that talked about Latu for Detroit, and I think Chicago's too early and Detroit's too late, but still, that to me is sort of the spectrum for him. But it would be a relief if Dallas Turner and everybody else is still sitting there, and they went, for example, Jared Verse. Or Latu, or whatever, be like, oh, thank you. Thank you for not taking Turner. And I might be way off, but that's whatever. As far as a big swing and a miss, there's a couple different things here. Potentially offensive line, and that might sound stupid. I mean, if you end up, let's say they draft Fashanu, that could end up being a fantastic pick. But because they've got a guy that's at least serviceable, right? By my estimation, they've got a guy that's roughly Rashid Walker. He might not be as good as Rashid, but it's the same thing. He's a fifth-round pick. I don't think you really expect a guy like that to step in. And he's doing a decent enough job to where it's like, okay, we kind of got a guy here. Now, if Fashanu is what everybody makes him out to be, then nobody's going to bat an eye. But it's like you bake in the floor, which I don't mean for Fashanu specifically, I just mean for draft picks in general. The floor is this guy's going to be a bum, because that's literally everybody's floor, despite the fact that we talk about floors and ceilings and some people are higher than lower. No, everybody's floor is basically this guy's going to suck. Even guys that when they tell you their floor is quite high, it just means there's maybe a lower percent chance that they suck, but they could still absolutely suck. There's just kind of that thing of like, you come baked in with the idea that you might be garbage. And then even if you're good, you kind of had a decent guy already. So, eh. And I think the biggest swing and a miss, and of course this could just completely blow up in my face, if it ends up being great, but it'd be Brock Bowers. Now, if Brock Bowers is Travis Kelce, then aw shucks. But I mean, I've watched Detroit now, what, twice take tight ends really high and have heart palpitations and freak out about it, and they bust it out. I mean, tight end just is not as valuable as some of these other positions, and the hit rate for these guys seems extremely low. Even like really early ones, just being competent is asking a lot. I mean, if Kyle Pitts was on the Bears, would we be laying up at night having, you know, fever dreams about it? And I don't think Brock Bowers is as good as Kyle. I mean, it could be wrong. I don't think that that's where he is. And again, they have a serviceable tight end right now. So while there are probably just completely dumber things that are really almost impossible to happen that they could do, you know, I mean, I suppose another thing that you could look into is if Odunze is gone, you could bring someone like Brian Thomas into the mix if they end up drafting Brian Thomas. Because now it's like, come on, man. Everything I said already about wide receiver, and then on top of that, a guy that is, I don't think anyone expects to be a Justin Jefferson type player. You know, this is a unique class of the top three wide receivers where I think if any one of these guys was a top five receiver, you know, I don't know that anybody would be super surprised. Maybe the order in which they fall, but these are all really talented wide receivers. Brian Thomas, of course, anything can happen. I don't think that that's the situation you're sitting in. So if it fell that way, that would be also glorious. I'm assuming that Odunze is sitting there. But that would be a thing where if he was gone, I'd be sitting there with my fingers crossed saying, please take Brian Thomas. And again, it could blow up. Any one of these could blow up in my face, but that one would be a big one. I would go interior offensive line or linebacker or something if there was somebody there, running back, but there just isn't. And that's the other thing that's unfortunate. It's all pretty high value. I mean, it's wide receiver, quarterback, cornerback, tackle, edge rusher, you know, defensive line. I suppose we could talk about Brian Murphy as a possibility. They passed on an elite defensive lineman last year to trade back and take the tackle. We talked about that yesterday pretty exhaustively. I don't think it would be a terrible pick. It might be a slight reach, but I mean, if Brian Murphy is what I think he could be, I don't think it would be the worst pick in the world. I know generally the value is not seen to be there, but I borderline... I don't want to say he's better than, you know, for example, Dallas Turner or Jared Verse or whatever. But I mean, for me personally, I would prefer Byron Murphy over Jared Verse. The positional value, you could say, isn't exactly there, but I just have more faith in Byron Murphy than I do for Verse kind of working out, you know. So I don't know. I would certainly laugh at them if they did it just because it's a perceived reach. And any opportunity to laugh at the Bears, I'm going to do it. But you know, it just, if I was living in my own universe and I was building big boards and I didn't see what everybody else was saying, I would absolutely have Byron Murphy ahead of pretty much probably all these pass rushers, to be honest. Maybe not the two guys I like that are like second rounders, but we don't need to talk about that. But anyways, why don't we take another break? I was planning on talking about the Packers. We'll see how long the Minnesota Vikings take. If I get kind of long-winded with it, we'll just leave it at that. Otherwise, I'll try to slip some Packer stuff in there, but we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. So forgot to mention, by the way, the Chicago Bears. Funniest thing in the world. The Chicago Bears have pick 1 and pick 9. As far as some of the damage they can do beyond that, they also have pick 75, 122... the podcast didn't just cut out there. That's the end of it. They don't have anything else. They have 4 picks in the draft. Hence the reason they should probably trade back. The fact of the matter is they can trade back, pick up like, I don't know, 3rd round pick. You know, you don't have to go back crazy far, but trade back a little bit, pick up an additional 3rd round pick. That way you at least have 4 in the top 100, which is pretty dope. And you're still going to be able to pick from pass rushers, corners, whatever. So I suppose the absolute worst thing would be they trade back marginally, pick up another pick, and still get one of those guys, whatever. But all right, the Minnesota Vikings. This is the one that most people are excited about. They have a lot of picks, not a lot of high-value picks, especially now that they've traded up into the 1st round. So they have the two first-round picks, but they don't pick again after that until the fourth round. In fact, they don't have a single pick inside of the top 100 after these two. And considering their plan is to move up, they're probably just going to have, assuming they can find a trade partner, they're going to have one pick in the top 100. And I think there's a good chance they're going to have to spend next year's draft capital. I don't know that it's impossible that we're not talking both first this year and first next year in order to get up, at the very least, a second next year. If we look at the Rich Hill trade chart, I know we've done this once before, but just as a quick recap, for myself included, or excuse me, not the Rich Hill. The Rich Hill actually says that they can get up quite high. If we use the Jimmy Johnson, and there's a bunch of different ones, the Rich Hill is probably the best for the Vikings. The Jimmy Johnson one puts them at about rated about 2,000, which is not quite enough to get up to where New England is. And that's sort of the question mark. So here's sort of the question. Will New England or Arizona be trading? Chicago will not trade. Washington will not trade. As it stands right now, it seems basically locked in that Chicago will be taking Caleb Williams, and then Jaden Daniels will be going two at Washington. We don't know that with as much of certainty, but that seems to be more and more the reality. Now, if you're asking me, if I'm New England, would I trade away a starting quarterback for 11-23? The answer is you've got to be freaking kidding me. There is no way in the world that I would trade away a potential future high caliber starting quarterback, which is what we must be talking about, for 11-23. For what? Quinion Mitchell and Jackson Powers Johnson? Like, would you trade that for Justin Herbert? Are you kidding me? That's stupid. So the only way this works, honestly, in my opinion, is if New England does not think that there is, outside of the top two who are already gone, a good enough quarterback, and Minnesota does. And I understand, well, New England doesn't have the situation, blah, blah, blah. Who gives a crap? I don't care. I mean, if we're worried about ruining him, which I think is an overstated thing, fine, sit him. Let somebody else play, and he can sit for a year, and we'll just say that, you know, this is his redshirt year. We've learned from other teams. Just put on some BS line about that, and you sit him, and you let it go. The nightmare scenario is what PFF put out. Now, granted, this is a mock that they did on YouTube that was more of what would the host do. So it's probably not going to happen. It's not based on what's Washington most likely to do, but he likes Drake May as the second best quarterback, so he had Drake May go. So the nightmare fuel for me would be Minnesota is actually able to get up to three with 11-23 and gets Jaden Daniels. You know, potentially the best quarterback in the entire draft, and they get him, you know, with 11-23. Now, again, I don't think they're going to get to three, partially because I don't think New England should trade, whether they will or not, I don't know. I don't think 11-23 is enough, not to say they couldn't throw in a little bit extra. And most importantly, Jaden Daniels will almost certainly be going too. Now, the next worst scenario then would be Drake May, because I think what most assume is Drake May will go three, Minnesota will trade to four, and then they will get J.J. McCarthy. Now, I kind of struggle with this one as well, because Arizona very much needs wide receivers. You have the two best, whichever wide receiver you like best, is sitting right there. They absolutely will not make it to 11. In fact, the next three wide receivers will all be off the board before 11. So you're not getting any of them now. That isn't to say it's the wrong decision. I mean, maybe you can... Now, they have plenty of needs. Maybe you do it. I understand wanting to capitalize on having that fourth pick and try to get something of value for it rather than sitting and taking a wide receiver. I just freaking struggle with it. It's one of those things, though, where everybody is so unanimous on this point that I feel like I'm just kind of banging my head against the wall for no reason. A lot of times in the draft when I do that, where I'm like, I don't know, man, I just don't see it. And everybody else is like, what are we even talking about? Then I'm wrong in that instance. So more than likely, worst or best case scenario, however you want to put it, Minnesota will be going to four and will be taking J.J. McCarthy because that's the guy that's left. So it's kind of similar to the bears, where it's like, well, this is kind of the assumed thing. So is it the nightmare scenario? I don't know. I mean, look, they're giving up a ton of capital. They've already made trades just to get to 23. Now they're going to have to trade again to get 11 and 23 up to 4, if that's enough, which, depending on the chart, probably it will be enough to get to 4. Again, it depends which one of these charts you want to look at. I can't remember what I said last time teams generally use. I know it's not the more up-to-date modern ones, which the more modern data-centric ones would be like, bro, like, you're trade 11 and like a fifth rounder and it's fine. Like, but teams like Arizona's not giving that up for 4. So I can double check which one it was. But the bottom line is it's probably going to be those two picks. Maybe they have to give back. Maybe they have to throw in a little more. I don't know. Again, if I'm Arizona, I just don't want to do it, man. You got some elite players. And I don't want to say it doesn't matter what position, but it almost doesn't matter what position. When you're talking about guys that have unbelievably rare ability, I just always want them. I mean, there's good, and there's a whole spectrum of good. And good is nice. You know, it's fine. It's great, even. But to have a truly premier, like, number one in the NFL type of player is a really special thing to have. And I would be shocked if whatever you're getting at 11 and 23 are going to compete with that. Not to say they have to turn into that, and for all we know, maybe Marvin Harrison is just mediocre and whoever gets picked at 11 ends up being elite, but I just struggle, you know, especially when it's been quarterback coming off, allowing somebody that shouldn't be there to be there for positional value reasons. Yeah, I don't know. But again, just from it's hard to even come up with a nightmare scenario. I mean, I guess that would be the nightmare scenario, is that they're able to find a trade partner, get up and get a quarterback. But even that is hard to even put it that way, because number one, I kind of assume it's going to happen and have for some time. But number two, they're most likely getting the fourth quarterback, which is hard to be scared of. And it's somebody that is probably going to be developmental, which means they're not going to have any impact this year, which means the Vikings are going to suck. And there's a very low hit rate on players to begin with, especially when you're the fourth, presumably the fourth best quarterback to begin with. And you guys just had Kirk Cousins. And so, you know, I mean, this guy could actually be like the fifth best quarterback in football. And it's like, I'm pretty sure Kirk's done that. So what am I really scared of here? Like, the absolute worst case nightmare scenario is that you get a guy that's about as good as Kirk was. Okay. And it's like, well, could there be a worse nightmare scenario? It's like, well, no, I'm not going different position, because if they don't have a quarterback, they suck no matter what. They could trade up, take Marvin Harrison. I couldn't care less. Like, oh man, they got Justin Jefferson and Marvin Harrison. Yeah. And Sam Darnold. Like, I'm not scared of that. So, I mean, the Vikings have a little bit of a tough road here, because they have to try to get a quarterback, knowing that they're probably not getting the top three quarterbacks, and they're going to have to give away a ton of value, and they're not going to have a ton of picks, at least not picks with a lot of value. Again, they're going to have one pick inside the top 100, and they have, you know, they got 2/4, 2/5, a 6th, and 2/7. So it's not really a lack of picks, but, you know, I mean, this is some tough sledding here to be able to build a team out of this. I mean, your defense needs a lot of work. And where are you going to get the ammunition to be able to do it? I mean, even if you were to get a premier pass rusher, I mean, that's what, you're replacing Daniil. Cool. We dealt with Daniil. You had Justin Jefferson and Daniil Hunter and, like, two top-tier tackles and a really good quarterback. And how many Super Bowls did you get? Oh, yeah, none. You guys struggled to get to the playoffs. Like, it's hard for me to really look at anything they could do right now to be like, dang, that's crazy. And even if it is like a different quarterback, honestly, that has more to do with what everybody else is saying. I think I would be more scared of JJ McCarthy than Drake May or Jaden Daniels. I know Jaden Daniels can run fast. Like, I mean, you know how I feel about that. I don't give a crap. I mean, I felt like there were two guys that had that Pat Mahomes type of ability, and it was Caleb Williams and J.J. McCarthy. So even if they end up with a different quarterback at 3, I still don't care. And it's like, well, what about that athleticism? It's like, you mean like 80% of what Justin Fields had? Okay, great. Best of luck to you. I don't know what you want me to say. They just got to kind of come out the other side to where you can kind of start to put the pieces together. And that starts with quarterback. Once you demonstrate you have a quarterback, now it's like, okay, now that you're an actual football team, how do we get you to be like one of the super scary football teams? Until you have that, though, I'm not taking you seriously. And Bears fans doing a victory lap like they already got one? Come on, bro. But anyways, I'm just going to leave it at that. We don't need to do Packers. We've kind of, I mean, we could, but it's good enough. Again, the Beast, supposedly, is dropping tomorrow for me, today for you. So that's when, I just want to make sure before I, again, we do our final evaluations for these prospects. I want to make sure I can see, because he does such a good job with like their background and every little detail about these guys. I just want to make sure I fully understand it and then go watch and form my own opinion and then just be like, all right, here's where I'm at. And honestly, I appreciate it if you take my opinions very seriously. More so, it's for draft day when we draft somebody, I can go, because I'm not going to remember what I thought about him. So I can actually go back and be like, oh, yeah, I remember that now. I remember watching that guy now, yeah. It's just notes for me. But another day closer to the draft. You guys have a good rest of your night. I will talk to you tonight, tomorrow, whatever. Have a good one. Bye-bye.